podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Unfortunately, we've run out of time today. Whatever it means for you in your club, we'll talk about that later.
Welcome back to another episode of We'll Talk About That Later, a football podcast mostly about opinions that aren't really that serious. Follow us on IG and Twitter at WTATLOfficial. Subscribe to us on whatever platform you're listening to right now so you never miss a new drop. This is episode
139.
Yes. Tanya on the buttons today.
Yes, indeed. That was so slow.
Yeah, that was really slow.
Was that too slow? Okay,
next yeah. time.
Well, you watch Junior every week.
Yeah.
I was just like, what is she doing it so slow, man? Like, I get be gentle.
Do you know what it is? I didn't want to be too fast.
You wanted to like fade it out and then you were like.
Well, I couldn't be too quick.
Yeah. No, anyway. It worked.
Yeah.
We're back with another episode, 139. How's everyone doing?
Good. Real good.
Real good, I can imagine. Being the only person here coming off the back of 3 points.
I forgot about that, yeah.
Did you know, yeah? That black cab drivers, yeah, they're not legally obliged to give you change.
All right, then.
Wait, whoa. Why is that relevant to anything?
No, I'm just saying. It's a fact, isn't it?
So you're trying to change what our podcast is about?
No, I'm just saying.
You're getting something off your chest, isn't it? You definitely got bumped.
No, it's just recently. No, I actually watched a programme about it. You know, one of those how...
All right, can everyone just chill out? Yeah, everyone just pause. I got a question. How have you come to watch a programme on black cabs?
It's a documentary, bro.
You know, like, this is actually years ago, by the way. You know them daytime
years
TV?
Ago, yeah.
You know, when I was unemployed.
139 eps later.
When I was unemployed and I was watching GMB and Loose Women and all that stuff, yeah. Jeremy Carr, them days. Yeah. So I watched this programme, you know, them one where them got them old geezers going, how not to get scammed, you know, all that stuff. So basically, he said a legal fact is a black cab driver, they're considered the queen's drivers. They're legally not obliged to give you change. So change, all debts have to be paid in full. Change is just a courtesy for them. But they like run with tradition, so they always give you the change. So like if you just have cash and they don't have change, they don't have to give it to you. So there's people listening to that like, rah.
But now though, all of them have got card.
Exactly, yeah. They've got card terminals, yeah.
But if their card terminal's not working,
it's called a card terminal.
Abdi, are you that hurt that this is what you've come to?
I actually wanted to give you this fact a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
I kept on forgetting.
Man set a reminder on his phone. All right. Might as well skip all ceremonies and just go straight into it. We do have a... I have something to play.
Oh, interesting.
You didn't run this by us, but go on.
Yeah. It was kind of sprung on me. So I actually haven't heard it.
Hey, give us some context.
Is his name Kojo?
It's to do with our first game that we're going to talk about.
Right, you know what? Abdi, just take a second. Give Abdi 3 or 4 seconds. Just compose yourself.
Okay.
Yeah. Goose Fraba.
Breathe in.
Mm-hmm. It's good advice, Tans.
Kojo, at this moment, I'm just going to take my headphones off.
Is it actually Kojo, though?
Yeah,
of course it is. Oh, okay. Who else is going to be? He's a hater, bro. Go on. Let him spout his gibberish.
I can't wait to hear this.
Let me hear it.
Oh, Abdi, you came and you gave without taking. And I sent you away, oh, Abdi. Abdi. Hey, first thing, man, I love you, man. No, really, I do. Real talk. We're going to big up the channel first, you know what I'm saying? Because a respectful thing, you managed to allow me time on your platform via voice note as well as inviting me to the pod and general as well. I respect that, you know, I respect you guys so much. So we'll talk about that later. For anyone that's listening, if you ain't subscribed, I don't know what the hell you're doing. You better hurry up and subscribe to this channel. Great content, great people. Tanya's happy. Spurs, tucking away Fulham, no stress. Mark has a lot of questions about his team right now, and rightfully so. I think he's going to ask a lot of those questions of his players as well, because they're not performing right now. But listen, it's football, it happens. And shout out Junior as well, because Junior, he's Gooner, and right now I should be calling you. I should be coming for you, but you know what? They're cool peoples, and I ain't stressed. And you know what, Abdi, you're one of a kind, man. Your banter's fantastic. Like, I rate your banter, my brother. but rather when you talk too much, you see what happens. Because I know you're going to come and going to listen to this, and then we're going to get off the channel, and I'm going to get off the channel from this voice note, and then you're going to, I don't know, you're going to call Martinez, I don't know, Rey Mysterio again, or what else are you going to call him? Gary Coleman. Guapo, Gary Coleman, that's why I'm there for you. I call him Hasbulla again. Hey, how about Midget Dominatrix? John Cena said that on WWE one time. I was calling him Midget Dominatrix as well. But what else he is? A winner. I told you, bro. When you talk, the heat will come. And I told you to be there when I'm there. Because the one thing I really wanted to tell you more than anything on that day when I came was we are going to beat you. For anyone that saw me on any other channel, I said Man United 3, Arsenal 1. I said it with my chest. I'm not here to brag about me getting the result right. I'm here to tell you that when you keep talking about players, players that your team wanted in the first place, you gotta come with the same energy when it comes to you guys losing. You man held that. Yeah? You man held that. You all complain about VAR. You all complain about this, that, and the other. Complain about your midfielders not closing down enough. Complain about basically not doing enough to win the game because your manager will come and tell you you had no desire. Or you lacked desire in the key moments and courage. My players didn't. My players were a bit sloppy at times, absolutely. Happens when you've got a Scott McTominay in there. I call him Haggis Matt Holland. But, you see, when you talk too much, you're going to hold that. So, Abdi, listen, enjoy this elf. So you're going to bounce back and see we're still top of the league and all that, yeah. We've been here, done that before, bro. We'll see you at the Emirates next. Hold that.
Love that. Big up, Hojo.
Was man doing his shopping while recording that? Man was actually multitasking while drawing you up.
If he was in Tesco and he was talking that aggressive,
why did security escort him?
Don't you know what I'm saying? Like, you can't be saying all that in Tesco, bro.
Abdi was staring at the sky for that whole voice.
he really was just
assessing his life.
Honestly, I would lose to any other team apart from Man United. Man United fans have no composure when they're winning it. So I just hate losing to them in it. So, but to be fair, like, nothing that he said was wrong in it. I have to hold it. Like, I have to actually hold it because I came with so much smoke. Like, even outside of this podcast, you lot know on Saturday, I was moving.
Oh my God. If you lot could see our chat on Saturday night, Abdi was... Listen, we won't even go there. You essentially said, there's no chance we don't win this game.
Yeah. I was moving smoky in it. But, like, you know, part of it is all living up to the act. But, like, with me, it's just, you know, I get how I live it, innit? So I'm going to give it and I have to take it. Like, Kojo is probably the worst person. Like, when Junior said just now, I'm going to play something and we found out it was Kojo, my heart dropped. Like, I can't help it. I was like, I'm the one usually sending the smoke to him, innit? And I loved it when they lost early in the season, losing to Brighton and Brentford and all that stuff, yeah? But now, like, flipping
out. Sounds like a changed man. Losing to him
yesterday was the most annoying thing.
Any direct response to any of the particular issues that arose from that?
No. The one thing I have a contention against here is he said, having to go at Hezbollah when you lot wanted him. Yeah, we wanted him to play left back. We don't want him to be like your defensive linchpin, innit? No one wants, you know, a child to be playing centre back, innit? Him and Varane standing next to each other is just comical, bruv. It's like Dan Burn and Lamptey standing next to each other, bruv. Or Dan Burn and Ryan Fraser. Like, these men are, one's a child, one's an adult, like. But and also he didn't play that well anyway. He got worked by Gabriel Jesus, and he should have got booked in it. But that's neither here nor there. Man United won, and although like a lot of people will say stuff like, "Oh, Arsenal played better and all that stuff," no, Man United deserved to win because they took their chances. Man United, they exposed where we made the errors, and then they were ruthless with it. Obviously, overall, when it comes to, if we just get into it, like, when it comes to the way we played and the way I thought generally we controlled possession, we controlled the flow of the game. We had more chances in terms of like to actually like when we got to 1-1, we should have like gone for it. But Man United, I think their star man for me was Eriksen.
Yeah, the maestro.
Like he did both sides of the game. Like he was very strong defensively as well. Like and at times I felt Man United were playing a bit like a pot to Tottenham. In the fact that they were quite compact at times,
yep.
Playing on the counter. Mm-hmm. They had wingers that were inverted. Well, they had wingers opposite on the other side. So like a right footed winger on the on the opposite flanks, and then a left one and the other one as well. So but then at times there were when Man United were counter attacking, they stayed quite wide, like Sancho and Antony. And then they just exposed our high line as well. So obviously when we were going for it, we didn't close down enough in midfield. And then we played a high line as well because we wanted a squeeze. And then they exposed it because they got quick wingers and they got quick players who go make good runs off the ball in it. So overall, I think probably they deserve to win. But I'm not too discouraged because I thought this is probably the best we played at Old Trafford in terms of overall, in terms of controlling the game and creating chances. And obviously, it's clear to see we're a much improved team.
Mm. I got just before we get into some game analysis more in depth. I got a question for you, and it's not I'm not on a draw out one because I know you've won your first 5 out of 5, and I know lots of those teams took points off of your Liverpool's, your City's, and so on and so forth, United's, etc. But people have come to say that this was your first big test of the season. You played very well. You could say for large parts of that game you dominated, but ultimately you failed that test. Where does that kind of lead you to where does that lead you to in where you are now? Is it a kind of just you've got Everton at home next, is it kind of bounce back straight away, win and continue the momentum you had, or is it, you know what, that was that first big test? I know you've got Spurs, City, Liverpool
coming up
in the space of 4 games. Massive test. They're all at the Emirates. But what does yesterday's result... yesterday. What does that do for you moving forward?
Well, firstly, those concerns are valid because all of the teams we played are all in the bottom 10. So and with the ones that we beat. So I think those concerns are valid. However, I think that generally they have an inability to add context to a situation. They would just say, oh, you played 5 shit teams and then you lost to the first decent one you played. As you said before, when you caveated it, you said a lot of these teams that we beat, other bigger, so-called bigger sides, lost the drop points against them. Liverpool, Man City, they all drop points against these so-called, and then Man United as well, who just beat us, beat Liverpool and Arsenal, but also lost to Brentford and Brighton. So, I think, and also, it's very clear, like, what we're seeing in this season, that there's no easy games in this Premier League. It's just generally, that's the truth. Like, a lot of people say it, apart from, playing the utter shit like Leicester right now, or like Nottingham Forest and Bournemouth, those teams who are proper toilet. But like, when it comes to Arsenal right now, I feel it was a bad result, but I think the process is still there, and that's what's more important for me. I'm definitely process over results. So that's why Jose Mourinho was never going to survive at Tottenham, because he was results first. So at first, when Tottenham were leading the league in December, but they were playing dog shit, and then the results catch up to the horrible performances. Mm. So like, even when, if for example, Ten Hag, if he loses the next couple games, people can clearly see the process is improving. So it's about process first, isn't it? So clearly our process is we're improving as a team. We've got better players. We've got better solidity when it comes to just as a whole team function. And then... But, like you said, like we need to win these games as well. But here's an important point people forget, yeah? There's only 10 games against other Big Six teams. There's 28 games against other so-called smaller teams. True. If, for example, we lost all those 10 games and we won all 28 of the other teams, yeah? That's easily in Champions League. You might even challenge for the title in a good year, yeah? So it isn't the games against the big teams that are the most important when you get into the Champions League. It's the ones against the smaller teams. Those are the ones, if you win all of those... There's plenty of times.
I don't think it's enough, though.
Yeah, I know, obviously, but like, no, it's important our home games against the biggest.
I completely agree with you, but to caveat that, all the rest of the big six will be saying the same thing. Win our games against the smaller teams. Mm-hmm. I actually think the games against your direct rivals are Spurs, a lot Chelsea, more important than you're maybe making them out to be now. And that's not to...
No, it's definitely important because obviously, like, you want to know that you're on the right path as well. And then that's, like you said, it's the first test against Man United, who are improving, who have obviously you're playing at Old Trafford, you're getting a lot of decent players as well. They've bought well recently, there's no doubt about it. Malacia is better than the rubbish that they had at left back.
Yeah, he's
whatever I say about Hasbullah, he's obviously better than Lindelof, Maguire and all that nonsense, isn't it?
Maguire's a joker, by the way, coming on yesterday, on the pitch seconds. For 56 seconds. For accuracy booking, but I got so let's kind of get into the game. I do have a question about
decisions.
managerial decisions, but do you want to kind of start with you know, from the start of the game, or should I kind of lead on into...
Go on, ask your question.
So essentially, you were at 1-1 and you made a point earlier about the...
Subs.
It was more so about you were pushing them at 1-1, really pushing them. But in my eyes, as someone who watched that game as a neutral, at 1-1, before you made those subs with the change of system as well, you were well on top
anyway.
And in my opinion, that's the one thing that Arteta's done wrong this season. And I put that down to managerial inexperience, was at 1-1, away to Old Trafford. I understand you want the 3 points, but you were well on top of the game, creating chances. And what he did, kind of switching to a three back, bringing on multiple midfielders. I think you had Vieira, Smith-Rowe. I think you might have even had Saka, Martinelli playing wing back, but they weren't dropping. So essentially it was a free
pure
seven. And that, for me, is where the game switched in United's favour.
I do think, like, Junior, you can come in at any point. I know it's just been me, you know, it's like an interview with me. But I mean, just when we made the substitutions, I definitely feel like it kind of disturbed it a bit as well. Like, but to be fair to Arteta, he's done that a lot this season. Like, pretty much most of the games he's taken off the left back. In the last couple of games he's done it and brought on an extra midfielder, and then we played like with wing backs sort of cheating, not really doing the defensive end, and then we've gone on, especially when we've gone, like the last couple of games where we've been at 1-1 and then we've needed to get the winner as well. So it's worked. That being said, obviously, like you said, it's Man United, it's away at Old Trafford. They can kill you on the wing as well. Taking off your fullback, and we clearly saw the value of Zinchenko in this game because he added an extra body in midfield. My biggest issue in this game is that it comes back to Thursday. Was it Thursday was the deadline or Friday? When was it? Thursday was the deadline. And you saw like how I lost my head in the group, not getting another central midfielder, chancing it again. Obviously, I feel we also needed a wing as well, but I felt like, you know, central midfielder was more of a crying need, especially a couple of days coming off when we just lost two of them. I've never, Junior's got a different opinion, but I've never been a fan of Lokonga. I just do feel, I think there's elements to his game where he's decent, and again, against teams like Aston Villa, where he can, you know, he gets more time on the ball. But when you're being pressed to death by wherever you see as flipping, what do you call him, Haggis, Matt Holland, isn't it? If you're getting pressed to death and you know what he's going to do, he's going to kick you in your face and say, oh, I got the ball, ref, sorry. And then you've got Eriksen as well, who can press, and Bruno. They're, at the very least, they're all good at pressing. So when, and also, like, he lost the ball for the second goal. He was killing us off the ball because he just doesn't. I think he's quite lazy defensively, like Lokonga. And so, like, all of that added on, like you said, the subs kind of destabilized it as well. Because when we got back to 1-1, our front four, Martinelli, Odegaard, Jesus and Saka, they were killing them. Like, that's Malacia, since he's come, that's the worst I've seen him play, because he got killed by Saka.
That's exactly what I meant when I posed that question about the subs, is that you were so on top of the game, both personnel-wise and system-wise, that switching up both personnel and system for me in that particular moment was the wrong call.
Definitely. I think, but I guess he's got precedent because it worked previously. But against Man United, I think it was the wrong call.
No, but he's never done like three like that. Like,
he literally did it against Fulham. There was no need.
Took off Tierney, went three at the back. Martinelli was playing as a wing back. So
no, but three substitutions. He didn't.
You mean three subs?
Three subs straight like that, because you're changing a large portion of the team in a crucial moment of the game, you might say.
To be fair, I like all of those players. Nketiah, Vieira, Smith-Rowe, those good players.
The problem is that I think he thought Man United were there.
Yeah, for the taking, yeah.
And so I thought, I think he's thinking like, okay, so if I crowd the midfield, they can never get out. But the problem is...
We were already doing that with Zinchenko.
Yeah, we were already doing that. But the problem is that Man United have a lot of pace going the other way. So, you're leaving Rashford isolated with Gabriel or whoever, then likely chances are he's going to outpace them because he's lightning.
Particularly if both your wing-backs are out-and-out wingers and they're, you know, in that final 20, you know, they've obviously got instructions to push more forward than they have been told to kind of drop back. So they did this against us, and a lot of people do this against us, where you leave your wingers high and wide. Mm-hmm. And if you're playing three narrow centre-backs and your wing-backs aren't dropping back, you saw it by the second Rashford goal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There was it was easy. It was very, very easy.
Eriksen ran through,
Ran through off the right.
The most basic thing they tell you in, like, literally Sunday league, high line, You got to put, if you're going to play highly, you have to put pressure on the ball. Highline, no pressure on the ball, then they, whoever it is, Bruno, you saw how he picked out the pass. To be fair, that was a great pass, by the way. It was a good run by Rashford, innit? And then that really killed us because that came while we were on top of the game and it was so out of the blue. It was just boom, all right.
I kind of feel like both goals were, like the first two goals, their first two goals were like that.
But I think even the third, because after they went 2-1, we still got back. We were like dominating the ball for a good like 5-10 minutes.
But and I feel then, like, with the third one, I think you could see a lot of it, like a lot of the gas got out of our players from the second goal. Like, I think they put a lot into it, and then to be 2-1 down, and obviously the personnel change, I think, at that point, and then he brought on some subs to, like, he brought on Fred to just crowd.
He was just about to bring on Fred, and then they scored the third goal.
And then I just think at that point, we were just like...
Do you want to talk about decisions then?
Well, before we get on to that, let's just actually, we don't do it probably often enough. To be fair, they haven't given us much reason to recently, but you have to praise United for...
It's annoying, isn't it?
Potentially not even the performance. The performance was really good. I do feel at home, if you're Manchester United, you should have aims to obviously dominate the game more. But aside from that, they were good.
They got the points. That's the main
They got the points, which is the important thing. And actually, credit... I know we've credited Eriksen and a couple of others, but got to give credit to Bruno in this particular occasion. I think he's been quite stinky so far this season.
Most of his work, though, was off the ball, though. Like,
but listen, in this day and age, off the ball work is almost as important as on the ball work. Particularly
I think for me, the standouts were obviously Rashford. I think
he looked a different player already. He was good.
I think I was impressed by Dalot as well. Like, it's hard against Martinelli. This season, Martinelli, bruv, he's been cooking guys left, right, and centre. And it's very exciting to be... When he scored the goal, I honestly thought, like, bruv, this could be, like, a star-making season for him as well. Like, he would have 4 in his first 6 games. He scored the winning goal against Aston Villa a couple days
ago. And can I just say, I know the goal was ruled out, but the composure on that finish...
Quality finish, and the ball from Saka as well, innit? But let's just talk about that, yeah? Because I want him to get onto it. You lot will have a different opinion to me. But that's soft to me.
No, honestly, I think it's soft. It's soft. I do.
And the worst thing is, all right, cool. So you want to debate whether it's a foul or not. Yeah, forget about that. The issue I have, is the referee is standing where Tanya is to me. You are Eriksen Erdogan. He's looking directly at them, decides, no, it's not. But the referees want to get involved and say, here, come look at it 10 times in slow motion.
And the thing is, it's like VAR is there for clear and obvious decisions.
Exactly. That's clear and obvious.
I was going to say, so here's where I stand on this one. I personally think that's a foul, right? But let me caveat that with, I don't think there was enough in that for VAR to intervene. Does that make sense?
True.
So going back to your point on clear and obvious, I thought when VAR came in, it was for, listen, I'm in favour of VAR only slightly when it comes to offside decisions, because that's black and white,
right?
If you're offside, you're offside. The rest, for me, is very contentious, and I don't think VAR should have actually intervened with that, although I do think it was a foul.
Yeah, I mean, no one's complaining against the technology. The technology is important when it comes to, obviously,
it's
like,
the people.
With goal line technology, that's fine. When it comes to offside, those are important parts of the game to have the technology. The fact that the league is rich enough, you know, not all of these leagues have an able to look at and monitor or, like, people in a different room. When VAR first came in, I genuinely thought it meant virtual action replay or something like that. I thought it was the technology was the main thing. When I heard it said video assistant referee, I was just thinking, these referees in these leagues are shit anyway. So you're just going to get another idiot to sit in Stockley Park and make a shit decision over there. So it's just like...
But do you know what's the most frustrating thing? Like, maybe 2 hours earlier, Brighton versus Leicester, Tielemans shoves whoever it is.
The same thing.
I've seen that. I just, listen, again, I'm not even here to be that guy. That particular one, and I saw someone tweet this earlier, for me personally, was just shoulder to shoulder. And again, but that goes back to the point where I don't think VAR should have intervened with yours, and I don't think VAR should have intervened with that first
Leicester goal. And it didn't, because that goal stood.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. So but I do think, I don't think that was actually a foul.
Okay, but...
I personally do think
Look, I think that both of them, neither player gets the ball in that. They're creating pressure. Football's a contact sport.
Yeah.
They both apply pressure in, obviously, Odegaard's coming from behind, Tielemans is coming from the side. They both hit the guy. They don't get the ball, but the ball continues in play and both the teams score. Mm. My problem isn't that Tielemans should have been pulled up for a foul or that Odegaard was, but it's the consistency. Because if one is a goal and one isn't a goal, what does that mean?
I hear it. I just think one was shoulder to shoulder. Which
I'll give you two other examples.
Let me just finish with this. One for me is shoulder to shoulder, and shoulder to shoulder for me is part and parcel of football. If you get moved shoulder to shoulder, that's your fault. You've got to deal with that. The one with Odegaard, for me, it's not even that he came from behind. It's that Eriksen was shielding the ball. There's a clash of knees, and he clearly falls because of the contact. The Leicester-Brighton one, I think, is... Listen, I've said so many times, it's very soft. It's a soft, soft foul. But for me, it's a foul. The one for the Leicester game, for me, is just shoulder to shoulder.
You agree that it was soft. That's the exact point that you're saying, is that VAR should not be intervening on soft decisions.
I literally said that. I don't think they should have intervened.
What annoys me the most is the ref was looking at it. He had HD view. Then he went to go look at it slowly. No, they call him to say.
Even worse than that is that at the beginning of the season, they said, we're going to be more lenient. Yeah. We're going to let the game flow. And so you're letting the game flow. And we've just seen a good quality goal disallowed.
I actually thought, you know, when he went over to the monitor and you always think, oh, if you sent him to the monitor, he's going to change his mind. Yeah. He spent so long though. I actually thought, you know what? He might actually just say,
And also, he's actually from Salford as well. And their VAR was from Great Manchester as well. So I'm not saying anything, but like, that's the point I made earlier this season, isn't it? These referees, majority of them grew up in the 80s and 90s, well, 80s mainly, and they're all from the north of England. You tell me they don't support Man United. That's nonsense. I'm not buying it. So that's one thing as well. But I mean, when it comes to, like, I'll give you two examples that are similar. Obviously, you said the Tielemans one, but like, earlier, literally a couple of days before against Aston Villa, Traore, Kamara is literally backing off on Ramsdale. Is that not a foul?
I'm with you on this one. It's the same.
It's definitely a foul.
I don't know if you guys remember the foul on Origi at Old Trafford.
When Rashford scored, didn't it? Yeah,
and they let that goal stand. Exactly. I'm completely... Listen, I'm not even against what you're saying. Mm. But you know what my point is.
What's his name? Mings. He picks up Saka and throws him like he's eliminating from the Royal Rumble. And that's not enough for VAR to intervene, is it? The consistency is not there, and this is why it's always going to be an issue when it comes to... We'll talk about the other decisions as well. I know we've been on this game for quite a while.
There's been some terrible...
But we talked about the other decisions this weekend as well. These referees are all... VAR, at this point, because of the referees and the way they implement it in this country, it's never going to be something that is going to be a success. So that's why they're very upset right now, just generally for their teams, West Ham fans, Aston Villa fans, Arsenal fans, Newcastle fans. They're upset and their emotions are high. So they're saying, get rid of VAR. I'm not saying the technology is important.
No, I think we should get rid of the system that is in place.
Exactly.
Because I think it should be, I know Gary Neville talks about this all the time, but it should be independent people there.
Yeah, exactly.
Because who have no bias whatsoever. They just have the rules right there. Mm. And because there is bias.
Yeah.
There is absolute bias
there. And they're all mates, isn't it? So you don't want to show up your mate.
And another thing is, like, they said that we were, they were going to trial, or maybe I'm making this up, I don't know. But I thought that they said that they were going to trial, letting us hear what they're saying for... accountability
for them.
How can we as fans be sitting in a stadium for 6 minutes not knowing what's going on?
And the only thing we have is the screen.
Yeah,
show the incident, like what you're looking at, like show what you're looking at in terms of the, like, the referees when they're going to the screen. We should be able to see that on the monitor. Like, they
absolutely
never do that. So, but yeah, I mean, I guess that's just, to be fair, like, in the grand scheme of things, when it comes to the actual game and the end result, I think that would have been... I genuinely, and you guys might disagree, I genuinely think if we were 1-0 up, I think we would have won that game. And I just... That's how I genuinely believe we did. But we made clear errors. We made clear, naive... There was naive moments as well.
They were more clinical than us.
They were more clinical, 100%.
That's a good way to sum it up.
They're more clinical. Odegaard missed the absolute sit. Oh, my God.
What? Can I ask you a question? After Tans, what...
I hate that.
I've got a serious question for you, because I think he's a quality player, but I've noticed that this season, why is he scared? Not scared, but why does he refrain from shooting so much?
You say that, but he scored 3 goals this season. Yeah.
I know, but the fact he scored 3, he should probably have double that.
Yeah, he refused. I don't know. He's one of those guys, like, he's very much more of a facilitator rather than a finisher.
I know, but when you're 8 yards from goal...
Yeah.
But it reminds me of Ozu. Ozu had the same thing.
Yeah.
He would rather pop his first... It's like... I don't know, because I have this as well. Like, the first instinct that you have when you get the ball is to pass.
I really get that.
Even if it's opened up for you, your first instinct, so even in that 1 second, you know how it is, you've lost the moment. You've lost it.
I completely agree. But if you want,
yeah, but
if he wants
ACL,
to become,
huh? You just did your ACL.
Not my ACL. I think it's the MCL. MCL. I did my MCL.
No, but if Junior's knee is pregnant right now.
Wow. Let's finish on this point and then move on. But if he wants to become a killer on the pitch, that's one thing he has to improve.
He could be our top scorer right now if he actually shot more.
The coaches are probably onto him about
They should be.
Because he was before.
The same thing happened at Palace when he missed. And then the next two games, he goes and scores 3 goals. So I think they are onto him. I think it's a mind frame thing, I think, maybe. Like, he's there. Yeah. He's like, I'm going to pass it. Rather, he doesn't trust himself, but he will trust someone else.
To be fair, he helped make our goal with a great pass, by the way, to Jesus. And I honestly, I don't give a shit what people say, Odegaard is one of our best players, like, probably in our top 3 best players.
He's
a fantastic player, and he's actually improving as a captain as well.
And I also think he's our metronome. Like, he creates our tempo.
We saw it against, without him, we wouldn't have beat Fulham.
Yeah.
Against Aston Villa, again, he's the catalyst to help us get the goal, get the win
in
it.
And when he went off, the drop off in our play,
I do like Fabio Vieira though. He is tidy, man. That guy.
I meant against Villa.
Oh, against Villa, But I mean,
but Vieira looks good.
Vieira is good, man. But that's the thing, Arsenal fans, they're allergic to having more than one good player. If someone play well, the other player has to be rubbish.
I'm sick and tired of the Tierney stick.
Tierney is rubbish now because Zinchenko has been playing well. Yeah. Like, it doesn't make sense to me. Like. But also apparently, Ben White has been playing well. Tomiyasu is terrible. It doesn't make sense. Like, it's just because we've only had for 10 years we've only had 11. We've had 14 shit players in the squad.
Barely that.
Exactly.
Barely
that. So yeah. But anyway, let's move on.
But no, congrats United.
Piss off United, man. Yeah. Do you think they're back now?
I think they're turning a corner. Yeah, I wouldn't say they're back.
It depends what your definition of back is. Mm. As in back, as in. Back like Fergie days, or just back? As
Fergie days. Yeah.
But I think the test for them now is their next game.
Who's
can they push? I don't know who.
Palace away.
Because let's be honest, look, I do think there's an element of Old Trafford's just a sticky place for you.
Yeah,
it's like Stamford Bridge. No matter what
we won there once in 10 years.
There, so
and
since 1978, we haven't won there with more than 2 goals.
Crazy, you know.
It's just
the thing is, we the only time we won in the last 10 years is behind closed doors. So every other game with a crowd, we lose.
And the 3 times in the Premier League era that we scored 2 goals, we haven't won there.
That's crazy. Yeah, we've lost 8-2 once there as well. Old Trafford is sticky. And it's a sticky place for Tottenham as well. Sticky place for Liverpool as well. So
we beat them 6-1 behind closed doors.
Aside from obviously last year when you pumped them.
Yeah, we did go there and beat them 5-0 last year.
Yeah, but, I mean, we're not in that bracket.
Yeah. So yeah, I guess so. But when they come to it, it's the same for them. When they come to the Emirates, we bend them over and pipe them anyway. So we'll see them in the Emirates, isn't it? So Kojo, I'll see you at the Emirates. Make sure you come back on that podcast. Send me a voice note then, innit?
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see where both teams are at that point.
Yeah, Man United actually they're better defensively. Like, they actually have good individuals at the back now.
Because Maguire's not playing. I mean, we spoke about it. When he came on, he got a yellow.
Why is Maguire's foul on Nketiah now? If the Odegaard had won now? Because all right, cool. Nketiah ran into him, but he did wrap his arms around him. So why
McTominay
is that? If you're gonna do this,
is playing a different sport to everyone.
I saw the
entirely.
One. Was he the one that wrestled too?
Yeah, Gabriel Jesus. That was his yellow card. Yet, how many fouls did he commit in the first half?
Yeah, Varane should have got yellow before he did.
Outrageous.
Martinez in the first minute.
They were actually just wrestling our players.
No,
Jesus
was getting battered, man. But Jesus, what a player, man.
What a player. He is brilliant.
He's actually changed my life. But the worst thing is now, all I'm seeing is highlights of Lacazette doing mad things for Leon.
I've seen the goal.
I've seen it.
Imagine me doing yoga, because how did he stretch to
I saw someone say he was definitely sabotaging us last week.
Nah, he was, isn't it?
Yeah. Maybe he was.
It's not a good look for the French league right now, isn't it? Lacazette's going there doing that, isn't it? Nuno Tavares is scoring with his right foot every 5 minutes.
Nuno Tavares and Balogun are top scorers.
Crazy, isn't it? Shout out to Balogun, though, my boy.
Yeah, that's 5 goals and 1 assist in 6 games.
Let's not worry. We'll be Everton next. We're still top of the league, so
home
against Everton.
Oh, okay. You seem to do quite well at home. So.
We'll beat them next. We'll stay top of the league, and then we'll just go from there. And I think the one I'm looking forward to is the derby. You know, so we'll see where we're on then.
When is that off the top of your head?
First of October,
and then so it goes Spurs and City at home, Leeds away, and then Liverpool at home.
There's a Europa League in the
12. Yeah, we've got a couple of 12
interesting
points.
It's a very interesting. That's where I think 12 points. Yeah, crazy. That's where I think we'll really. Obviously, there's games between now and then, but we'll really know where Arsenal in particular are at after those four games.
Last year, yeah, what we had was if we didn't win, we lost. So hopefully we can at least try and get some points now instead of like, we're always going for the juggling that we can get.
But you know what? I am, despite the loss, the performance is like, the way we play football, the pressure that we kept
playing out the back.
I can tell from both of you, it's not that type of demoralizing loss that you've held so much in the past like 4 or 5 years.
No, I was angry. I was angry yesterday. I was hot.
Yeah, I hear that. But in terms of you're hot because you lost the game, but in terms of like the additions to that, where usually you know you're looking at Emery, early Arteta days. I say early Arteta days. Most of Arteta's tenure, a lot of your losses have been lose the game and get dominated physically and on the ball, off the ball, etc. Whereas this one was lose the game, unfortunately, dominated most of it.
Yeah. I mean, these things happen, you know, like we've seen, okay, I'm not calling you out. I promice. It's just, I just thought about it. It's like an example, right? Because you said something like, we should have won but lost 3-1, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't necessarily agree that we should have won. We should have won. Like, nothing is guaranteed. But it's one of those performances, like, where you see your team do so well. And you feel like you didn't deserve to lose. Not that we deserve to win, but we didn't deserve to lose.
I get that.
But we lost 3-1. So it's kind of like, I've seen Man City go there at Old Trafford, batter them, and then Man United walk away with a 2-0 win. And you're like, how did that happen? Man City should have scored 13.
And I guess it's one of them things, you can play terrible and win, but sometimes you feel worse because your team played shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, because that's how I've been feeling. But listen, top of the league still. So
You say that with a lot of laughter
Premier
in your...
Premier League champion.
Well, we just won't win it invisible, innit?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm all right with 111 points, it's fine.
No, I do think North London derby, that'll be a big game.
I can't wait for that, and honestly, I can't wait for the podcast that precedes that, because it's just going to be.
I'm not confident already.
It'll be very interesting.
I mean,
how can she be ready for post pop the podcast after 7-0?
Emirates, we are terrible at the Emirates, and I actually just think you've been the better side this season. The table
I appreciate
proves
that.
So
I appreciate that.
You know,
I appreciate that.
Anyway,
so the Merseyside derby happened.
The best 0-0 I've seen.
I was about to say it ended 0-0, but
it was so entertaining.
That doesn't tell the story.
Doesn't tell the story. So listen, before we get into the analysis of this, I just have to, pains me to say it, I've got to shout out Jordan Pickford, because
he
got given man of the match. I would have given him man of the match. Yeah. I think everyone in this room would have given him man of the match regardless.
Some of the saves he made.
But you know, I give him a lot of stick, and that performance that he put in on Saturday early afternoon was.
I want to give him praise, but every time he makes a save, he has to strut like an idiot, man. He gets up and puffs his chest out all the time. Like, oh, I'm the man, innit? He's like a budget Buffon. You know when Buffon gets up here and he starts shouting at his defenders, kicking the post and all that stuff? All of this acting, man. Just save and go, bro.
Save and go. That Nunes save, I thought was probably...
The best save
that gave me Torres Blackburn vibes. I don't know if you guys remember that goal. I'm telling you what, if that went in...
No, the best save I thought was the snapshot from Firmino.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I was like, whoa, that was a good save. And he made...
Every single one of his saves were either good or unbelievable.
Yeah. Salah one right at the end as well was a good
Salah one right at the end. That would have been a, 95th minute Merseyside derby winner. Yeah. Pulled it out of the bag. So I've got to give him credit.
You lot just trying to hit the bar in that. Like both Everton and Liverpool. That was the aim.
They hit the bar, and then we go up the other end, hit it twice in quick succession. And it's just like.
That was a mad sequence.
It was crazy.
Yeah, as nil-nils go, in the right times, it was. Now that I can sit back and reflect on it, when you're in the moment, it's more frustrating and tense. Yeah, but looking back on it.
Can I ask you an honest question?
Yeah.
What on earth has happened to Fabinho?
I thought he was decent. I'll tell you what, though. I think, particularly with the lineup that we chose, I was interested when I saw that team with Fabinho, Elliot, and Carvalho. And it was clear to me, actually, when I saw that lineup, and I love Harvey Elliot and Carvalho, but it was clear to me, as soon as I saw that lineup, that Fabinho would have a lot to do. A lot. And if you look at our pass map from after the game, and where players were most frequently on the pitch throughout the 90, he was all alone in the middle of the park. I actually think we're giving him too much to do and too much space to fill. Not enough protection. I know he's the protector, but he doesn't get enough protection himself. So
it was. I think it's because of the high standards that he set over the last 3-4 years. And he's just last year he was getting forward almost scoring a few goals. This year, I feel like, especially in the second half as well, especially when they brought on what's his name, my man from PSG,
Gay.
Gay.
Oh yeah,
he was losing quite a lot of duels in there, and Everton were doing very well.
Yeah, but you got to listen. I think it's a very valid point. We haven't been able to play our first choice midfield once this season.
What is the first choice?
It's just pure mix and match. He's just in there every week with new bodies. There's no cohesiveness in there. It's really hard for him to kind of get to grips with who's in front of him on the right, who's on the left, because it just changes every week. Whereas some of his best form came when Henderson was in his prime and we had Wijnaldum on the left, because there's a lot of defensive stability in those three. Whereas on Saturday, we had one in there with that defensive stability and then two Roman. But what is our best midfield?
Thiago and Elliot. Yeah.
Thiago, Harvey Elliott and Fabinho probably.
And you could see like the game plan from Everton was really clear. It was just a frustrate
Liverpool think they played well, I'm not going to lie.
No, they did.
You have to give them credit.
Their midfielders were a big part of why
Iwobi centre mid.
Yeah, what is going on?
But even Onana, like Iwobi. Like the way they just got about the three centre mids at Liverpool and just made it really difficult. Like Liverpool are known for pressing. Everton pressed Liverpool.
Yeah,
you've got to
give them credit. I tell you what, if you're a West Ham fan watching that game, you're gutted you've missed out on Onana.
Yeah.
Because it was, as far as I'm aware, the choice came down to Onana, West Ham or Everton.
And he chose Everton.
And he chose Everton. But you're gutted if you're West Ham.
Which is weird, though.
It is weird.
Maybe he didn't think he'd start because Moyes is quite diligent.
I'm not sure, but you could imagine a West Ham midfield with Rice and Onana sitting and Paqueta just roaming.
But like, what's his name? Moyes, he's quite known for being sticking to the guys he likes. Rice and Souček, he's probably not going to break that partnership. So
but listen, if you ask any West Ham about Souček, they'll tell you right now that guy needs to be dropped.
Yeah, they're stressed.
That ship has sailed with Souček.
Although he scored.
Souček, yeah. And he, so, but I mean, I was going to say, and he scored against Tottenham, but you're talking about that game.
I could see in your face you're trying to evaluate what's going on.
I was like, shut up. It was Antonio who scored against Chelsea. So Onana, when it comes to him, I like him, but he's very funny when the referee books him and he looks like, oh, I didn't do anything wrong. His face is so funny.
Isn't that every player?
Nah, he's alone. Early on the season, I said I'm buying stocks early. It won't be centre mid, that guy, he is, I don't know, Frank Lampard, I don't like giving him credit because I think he's a bad manager. But the way he's moved his position, and it won't be what he surprised me most, is his defensive work as well. Like the way he's getting back, shielding the ball, he's always been very good at shielding the ball, to be honest. Like he gets in front of the players and makes sure he retains possession. He's, like I always said, he's good from getting to the final third into the defensive third into the final third. He's good at progressing it, but his passing though, he's actually like, because as a midfielder, if you're always going to dribble from the defense, it's always going to be easier to make sure you can pass through the lines in it rather than dribbling. You're always going to be more valuable as a midfielder. So he's doing that a lot more as a centre mid. So I definitely like that. But if you add Idrissa Gueye and you've got Onana and Iwobi as a centre mid three, then it starts to look very.
But you know, that's
tough,
the thing. I always thought Iwobi's issue was his decision making.
Yeah, in the final. That's why he was
like
in final.
So like that for me, like once you remove that, it's a decent player in there.
Yeah, no, it's weird when you watch him in centre mid. You kind of think to yourself, how did he ever get bought through as a winger?
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. Like he was, to be fair, like when he first came out through Arsenal, he was a striker.
Yeah.
And then they moved him out to the wing. And when he first, the thing is, when he was first broke into the team, he broke in linking up with Ozil and Alexis Sanchez and, you know, Sani Cazorla, these guys all around him, then he starts to look good because he's actually a very clean technical player and his link up play is very good. But when he gets into final third, he just falls apart. He's an idiot, isn't it? So, but you're watching, and it's actually funny watching him now in the team, and you're watching Demarai Gray go through what Iwobi was like before. Because Demarai Gray is such a talented guy, but sometimes his decisions are bizarre. Like to the point where you're thinking, did you do that for a bet? Like, why? One corner he took, and it didn't
allegedly.
One corner he took, it didn't even bypass everyone. It went into like the steward on the opposite corner.
I remember.
But I think Everton, they had some decent opportunities. Where
honestly, criminal.
I was literally about to say
that. Was criminal. Obviously, best goalkeeper in the league, in my eyes, stood up Listen, Pickford deserves all the praise, but Alisson made some really good saves himself.
No, he did.
Obviously, the Mopai one, but there were a couple more as well.
The McNeil one was a good one.
McNeil took a big deflection. I think both keepers come out of that game with the most credit.
Yeah.
And if you had asked me prior to that three-game run, our last three games, would you take 7 points? I'd maybe actually say yeah. But off the back of such a poor start to the season, it was really important. We won the game against Everton, as well as the previous two. So usually I'd look at that as a decent point, but we need points. So I kind of reflect on that game and think, you know what, we had the chances. We could have won that game. It was a goalkeeping masterclass. Let's now just accept that and move on. Listen, the fact that we're only 5 points off Man City, having won 2 from 6, to me, in my eyes, is a miracle.
Well, I was going to say, could you not say, like...
It's kind of disrespectful, you know. Are Man City top of the league?
But you know what? Listen, who... You know why I say City.
Say you're 6 points behind us, yeah? Say that.
You know why I say City, because it's been City and Liverpool battling it out for the past five, six seasons.
Mm-hmm. Could you not... Past. You know, I know you're saying it's a miracle, but could you not see, like, that this season has started in such a way where it's like... We said at the start that it's not easy for... Any team that you're coming up against, like you could drop points at any point. So could you not say that perhaps this season is probably it's I'm not going to say it's okay to keep dropping these points, because obviously you don't want to keep dropping the points, but it's not like the other seasons gone where dropping the 2 points where you could have won the game is like that's it.
I agreed. Listen, you look back at City's record in the past 4 or 5 years. They maybe draw 4 or 5 games a season. They've drawn 2 in 6 now. So it goes to prove your point on, listen, teams will be dropping points throughout. And
just got to stay with it.
So now it's important. We've got Wolves at home next. Have to win that. There's not a question in my mind. We have to win that.
San Diego Costa.
Wait, is that completed?
It's not done, but apparently he's having a medical.
Then. Oh, okay.
Wolves were pissed though, like signing 25 million striker ACL.
I know, that is so peak.
That is crazy.
Yeah, that is
although, like, I get what you're saying, and I get what you're saying, Junior, as well. But like, I think the concern for Liverpool has to be that a lot of your players aren't I'll be concerned with a few of the performances as well.
I agree, but listen, like, when we're so shot in the middle of the park, I think we're losing a lot. It's clear to see we're losing a lot in the middle of the park, including a dictator and a controller in Thiago. Miss him a lot. But the season's young. I completely get your point. We need to put the ball in the back of the net more, a lot more. I know a lot of people don't like XG and what it stands for, but actually, and this is going to sound silly, it's going to sound very silly, but just bear with me. We've won all 6 of our games on XG this season, right? Our problem is we haven't been putting the ball, bar Bournemouth, in the back of the net enough. So moving forward, that's got to be the aim. Get bodies back in midfield. Put the ball in the back of the net more. Take our chances.
You know, a stat I read this weekend is that Liverpool have been outrunning all the games.
I've seen that. I know. It's not good enough. Considering we are usually the team who outruns every team, it's not good enough. Again, it goes back to... You got to remember, at the start of the season, we had 11 or 12 bodies out. It was difficult. We actually had a fairly decent pre-season, so I was quite positive coming into this season. But the season's young. I think we will fix that outrunning. I think we'll fix that very quickly. But for me, it's about putting the ball in the back of the net. And we're playing a slightly different system now, whether that's because we've got so many midfielders out or not. But Salah's staying too wide. And listen, when you've got a guy who wins Golden Boot after Golden Boot, scores 30, 40 plus every season, you need to be getting him in front of goal a lot more than we have done this season. So
why did Klopp take off Trent?
I think I'm not really sure, to be honest with you, but I think Napoli.
Yeah, Champions League.
But to be honest with you, I wouldn't have done that.
Is the derby
particularly that early? I thought that was way too early. 58th minute. I thought that was way too early. He changed both fullbacks.
Didn't even get the clean sheet.
He took Tsimikas and Trent off. Trust me, I feel your pain, bro. He took Tsimikas and Trent off, and I think that was the plan from the start. So give Robbo 30, give Trent 60, give them the full 90 against Napoli. Because it's important we start Champions League campaign with a good result.
But it's the derby though, isn't it? So.
I don't think he should have come off.
And then he ended up changing it anyway. Like, he brought Milner right back, and then he ended up changing it. He took off one of your midfielders, put Milner in the midfield and then put Gomez right back. So it was almost as if like he made the change hoping Milner would be like get some crosses in for Nunes. And then he ended up changing it anyways. Like, oh, yeah, okay,
it's not even that. He made that change. You could see straight away it was a mistake because I think Everton see, all right, 36-year-old James Milner, right, we're going to target that. Mm. And they did, which is what I think forced him actually to get Joe Gomez in at right back, pace, power, and get Milner on in midfield. But listen, draws, not the end of the world, but when you consider our start to the season, it's not great. But let's move on now.
Milner's done now, isn't
it? Yeah, listen.
He shouldn't even be playing.
I love the guy. He wouldn't be playing if we didn't have so many injuries. But it actually boils down to, regardless of the injuries, he shouldn't be playing this much football for us. And that actually goes back to the summer transfer window. We should have got a centre mid in and we should have done it at the start.
Well, he did though.
At the end. And that was only because Keita, again, injured. And we're talking months. You got him and Ox got left out of the Champions League squad. So they're both out for at least 2 months because the group stage is going to be done in two months. It'll be done before the World Cup.
You've got to cut ties with those guys now, innit?
Both in the last year of their contract.
Have you got tricky fixtures coming up? Or is it fairly...
We've got Wolves away this coming weekend.
Away or home?
Wolves home this coming weekend. And then I can't even remember from there. But yeah, we've got Arsenal away soon.
Is it Napoli tomorrow?
City away soon enough. Napoli is Wednesday.
Wednesday, okay.
How old is Milner just out?
36. He's I think he's 59 or 60 away from equaling Gareth Barry's appearance record in the league.
Oh my God. Didn't he get like, I think he one of these games was his, or was it Henderson who had 400 games? Someone hit a milestone this game.
Henderson, more than 400 games for Liverpool. But yeah, I think it was 400 or 500 for Liverpool.
All right. And
we say Milner's old, but I'm 30, so only a couple
of
years. In professional football terms, he's right, old.
Moving on, Spurs played Fulham, who a lot of football people have said aren't a very good team.
Well, they beat Brighton.
Even though they've only lost two games this season.
Very good side.
But yeah, Spurs played Fulham.
Yeah.
And... You were happier with the performance.
No,
we can
definitely.
Say.
I was happy with the performance. Conte made 4 changes. So Bentancur was back in the side. Longley started. Romero was back. Can you not do that, please?
Sorry, I just feel physically ill.
I swear to you, I was just sitting here thinking, what's that noise?
I get physically ill when you talk about certain Tottenham players.
And Richarlison started. Helena Kulusevski, which I was surprised about, I'll be honest. I thought Son should have been the one to be rotated. But. Sorry.
Champions League midweek though.
Champions League, so I expected changes. Look, the performance overall was much improved, and I genuinely think that was down to Romero and Longley because they're so much better on the ball. It allowed us to progress.
Who didn't play instead of
Davies and Sanchez? Didn't play in the back three.
That's
focus.
Already a big
it's a
difference.
Massive improvement.
Ben Davies is better than Longley, but we'll leave that for
Longley's
another time.
Better, in my opinion. Better
that was
before.
Such a good opportunity for you to say, but we'll talk about that later. We'll but you obviously that. Haven't got the
sorry.
You haven't got the creative mind for that
personally. But yeah, I think we looked a lot better on the ball, and we looked a lot more fluid up top. I thought Richarlison. He's just giving us that directness. I feel the fact we haven't had.
I actually didn't catch this game. It's one of the few games that I either haven't watched or didn't catch highlights of. But I've heard Richarlison actually was impressive.
Yeah, he was. Do you know what? It's a shame because obviously the result ended 2-1. Obviously, we got the 3 points and he scored. He made it 3-1, but he got disallowed and he got boots because the celebration.
Amen.
My Lord.
Hallelujah.
I can't, I have to say it was over the top against Fulham.
75% of this table hates Richarlison, and there was only one person on this table who didn't hate him. So I'm just saying, I'm kind of feeling the dickhead right now.
No, it's like 50-50 now.
Listen,
Tanya loves him.
You hate him.
Tanya loves him.
All of you hate him.
I'm warming up to him because he's performing.
Wait, hold on. What? You're the 25% that loves him.
I don't say I love him. I say I'm the only person who rated him before he signed Tottenham.
Let me clarify this. I've never said I don't rate the guy as a footballer.
I just don't like him.
I just don't like him.
No, you were like, he's a 6-goal a season guy, all that kind of stuff.
Eight goal.
Okay, fair enough.
8 or 9.
Yeah.
Is that?
And he got an assist for Højbjerg's goal as well. He's linking
shot
up well.
Horror. He plays instead of Kulusevski, and then Tottenham play better. Wow, what a surprise.
Oh my God, you're in your Kulusevski agenda.
No, I actually think that was a bit of rotation. So in my mind, I now see a front three of Richarlison, Kane, Kulusevski.
Yeah,
I think you got Marseille on Wednesday.
No, we've got them on Wednesday. I'm nervous about that game.
And I think that's the type of rotation you've brought Richarlison in for. So, yeah. you know, Kulusevski comes out 1 week, there's not much of a downturn in quality. Son comes out the next week, Kulusevski comes back in, Richarlison shifts to the left. Mm-hmm. It gives you options.
No, it does. And I think that's probably why he was a good option for us, because he can
play across the front three.
And I read as well, it's the second time he's taken off Harry Kane ever.
Yeah, he took him off. I don't know what minute he took him off, though. I think
it was late. It was like late, it's late 70s.
Like that, late them 70s. Ankles.
Yeah, second them time ankles. Ever.
Conte, he's not been there long, has he?
Yeah. I mean, he's been there since the end of last year. So, I mean, he's been there for over... He's only taken him off one or two times.
Listen, Kane's looking good, man.
That ankle is like good.
You're just praying.
You better, Conte, all I'm saying is you better protect that ankle, bro.
No, we
got a World Cup to win.
He'll be all right. But as I say, it was a much improved performance. I like Longley. I want him. For me, that's the back line that I want. Can you stop interrupting me?
I said you'll find out soon. I'm not interrupting you.
All right, look, guys, let's move on because I'm not trying to talk over people. I'm happy with the result and...
Look what you've done, Abdi, man.
Well, I don't know where... I just said one thing.
No,
really
look what you've done.
I'm sorry. Okay, go and speak
then. You
always
talk over me.
All right, stop crying and speak then.
What's the point? I might as well not say nothing.
All right, go on. Sorry, stop crying.
Much improved performance. I think the integration of Longley and Romero helped us. And I think, move on to the next game. We've got Marseille at home. I think that's going to be a very tricky fixture. There's a lot of ex-Arsenal players in there. They're second...
And one Arsenal player as well.
Tavares.
And then you got Alexis Guendouzi, and there's one more. I can't remember.
Conte's record, obviously, in Champions League isn't great. Like he doesn't even make it. Out
regardless of the record, if you don't make it out of that group, he's made it out of group.
True?
He's made it out of group.
Has
he's
he?
Made it to the quarters once.
Wait, ever in his whole career. Let's stop this.
I'm pretty sure, but maybe a Spurs fan got it wrong. I'm pretty sure group stages, he don't even get out of the group.
He's got out of the group stage like two or three times ever.
Yeah, but I think that's not even good.
Bearing in mind, I don't know how many campaigns he's managed in the Champions League, but I think he's been knocked out of the round of 16 twice, made the quarterfinals once, and never been further.
This is outrageous news. It's bad. You never knew that.
Listen, domestically, you can't even question his record, but European-wise, you can really question that record of his.
It's not great.
And then there was the whole Europa Conference League debacle last season as well. This is brilliant.
I'm sure it is.
What happened to Tottenham in the Europa League Conference last year?
They lost... Conte didn't have a game.
That was it.
They got out of the group stage. Sorry. Anyway, I did not know that. That's good. But anyway,
Man said that's good.
Højbjerg.
No, he definitely qualified one time with Chelsea.
No, yeah. I've just said so. He's. I think he's made it out of the group stages three times. Bearing in mind, he's been managing for what 20 plus years.
Mm.
He's made it out of the group stage three or four times, and only ever made it to the quarterfinals once. Never been further.
Yeah. Is Højbjerg like? He's like this season. I'm an arrival Kane for top scorer.
Yeah, he's looking good, Højbjerg. I know he gets a lot of stick from me included. I have to give him his props. He's looked good.
And he's got two.
Well, it's something, isn't it?
Is he playing further forward? Because
he does it for Denmark, and I like it. Because to be honest, he's got a decent pulse on him.
So what is the Bentancur plays deeper than Højbjerg, and he allows Højbjerg to roam?
Yeah, but sometimes I think Bentancur should be the one to roam. But
yeah,
It was Bissouma this weekend, though, no?
Yeah, Bissouma. Who, to be honest, I wasn't impressed with his performance, but I won't be too hard.
Since first start.
But Bentancur also had a good game. But again, you know, I'm happy with the performance. But Fulham, these are teams we should be beating anyway. I need to see better performances against the better sides, like West Ham game. I know that was in midweek, but we were terrible again, so...
Mitrovic, though, by the way.
Oh, what a goal.
The guy's not stopping.
But you know what? Besides the goal, I don't think he was really in the game.
But
and that's credit to us, I think.
He wasn't really in the game, but it was
such a good goal, though.
I feel that is like Mitrovic. Like, he might not be in the game, you might not see him, and then he pops up.
But is it just me? He looks really buffed up as well. Or does he always look like that?
He's always been a unit.
Yeah.
Always been a unit.
He was a unit when he was 20 years old.
He was
a unit when he came out.
And you know what? I'm going to give, a special mention to Hugo Lloris. I don't care what anyone says. I personally think he's the third best goalkeeper in the league. I'm sorry. That's just my opinion. He made some quality saves. He's been at Spurs now for 10 years. And I feel like when he does make mistakes, I almost feel like it's so highlighted more than other goalkeepers. I just think, for me, he deserves all the credit, man. He's such a good goalkeeper. When you think of the horrible goalkeepers we had before him, like Gomez, and bloody Brad Friedel, all these dead goalkeeper.
Hey, running back, man. Come on. bring Gomez back, man.
Gomez was a shambles.
No, I said it with Chess the other week. I don't think Mendy's top five keepers in the league.
I think he's miles better than Mendy. I'm sorry.
Wait, you said in a group you didn't think it was like top 10. Like,
did I say that?
Yeah.
No, but come on. Right,
let me say with Chess top five. I'm pretty sure I said top five. Listen, he's lucky he just scraped top 10 the way he's done at the moment anyway.
Is it bad to say Lloris is the third best goalkeeper?
No, I think it's bad.
I think you've got a case.
The last 18 months, I can't really deny it. Like, his form has been good.
He's been incredible for us, man. So I want
to. But it was a period, though, like where he was on De Gea level in terms of making errors.
There was one period. When was that? About 2 years ago?
Yeah. So who's your next game? Apart from Marseille, in the league.
Man City.
With two unbeaten sides.
That's nice. I like that because I love when top six come up against each other when it's not your own team because you know one or both teams are dropping points, guaranteed.
But do you know what? Man City, I feel I'm allowed to be a little bit optimistic because of our record against City. We just
they hate
seem
you guys.
To do well against them.
The key difference is...
You're their bogey.
Obviously, there's Haaland.
The key difference is the last couple of times you played them with no striker, and this time you're playing against an Android, isn't it?
So
no,
you're moving like they.
Huh? Are you going to meet Man City this season?
Didn't I say like it's 111 points, isn't it? So what do you not get?
No, but why are you saying because they didn't have a striker?
No, I mean the difference is now. Like, yeah, it's true. I'm saying the difference is now. You're playing them with an Android.
They were demolishing man. They were demolishing without team after team with no striker. I think optimistic Tans is good.
Yeah, I'm optimistic. Absolutely.
You
obviously.
Got right to be optimistic, isn't it?
Huh?
They got every right to be optimistic.
Of course. Yeah, yeah. It's nice. It's a nice change. And I'm not even saying it in like a, but we quite often get pessimistic Tans.
I know.
Yeah. It's nice to have optimistic Tans, man.
And Conte loves these games.
Yeah, he does. He does. And like I said, look, he was the only manager to do the double on them last season. I know it's a different Man City, but
there's Nuno.
Nuno got the first one.
Oh, wait. Man, I didn't want to give
you
credit.
Obviously, she's got every right to be optimistic because, like, obviously, the fear is Haaland, but Tottenham got Kane.
Yeah,
it's so true. It's like Kane
won the game at the Etihad.
It's like Barcelona, Real Madrid. Barcelona could fear Benzema, but they got Lewandowski.
It boils down to the two best strikers in the league.
Mm. Yep.
Are going up against each other, and I can't wait. Exciting. Honestly, really, I can't wait for that game. That's it'll be a good game. Where is it?
So I believe it's at the Etihad. Yeah. Which is tough.
What was it? 3-2 Spurs at the end of last year.
Harry
give
Kane.
Me one
and
of those again.
Season before we drew there. So.
Give me some managerial beef. Just give me like
that Saturday.
All of it. All of it.
I don't
Saturday
think
5:30 p.m. game under the lights.
Oh God,
that's
come on!
That's how Tottenham won last time, innit? They won at 5:30.
Come on!
All right, Chelsea versus West Ham, and there was some VAR controversy.
I hate West Ham. Yeah, you know me. I hate West Ham. But
and you've never made that
clear.
Justice
for West Ham. Okay.
So you're leading the line.
Yeah, because I hate Chelsea more than West Ham.
I never thought I'd see you out to bat
Justice
for West Ham.
Yeah, but it's Chelsea, isn't it? Though.
Yeah. No, I know,
honest,
but like,
you really are a questionable human being if you don't hate Chelsea. Like,
anyway.
No,
sorry.
But no, it's a sorry, Tans is boiling up here.
I literally hate Chelsea so much.
Listen. We'll get into the game, but. West Ham shagged.
Absolutely shagged.
Like this is we've spoken of some couple of VAR decisions prior to covering this game, but this one in particular for me and the Newcastle one.
Oh, don't even get me started.
We'll get into that one. But those two for me are honestly sackable offences.
No, we have to start with that. Can we start with the incident, please, in that game, in the Chelsea West Ham game, please?
Sure, I don't know why you're asking me, but we can start with everything.
Like literally after Chelsea scored the second goal, Havertz literally from kickoff.
No, can we just quickly like. He hasn't got no right to shush.
That's what
no
I was going
to
say.
He's got no right to shush anyone.
I was going to say, we need to normalise referees booking players who are playing rubbish and they score one goal and start shushing.
Yeah.
That should be a bookable offence.
Ref should have said, you're getting yellow because you're audacity, bro.
Exactly.
You know that meme that comes out all the time of the guy sliding at five at Power League and it's a shit guy finally scored? That's Havertz, isn't it?
Honestly, he should have been booked.
Said that, Mark, because I just cannot believe.
I was waiting because we were going to talk about the incident, and then Mark brought.
Bro, you scored one goal in the last 20
and
years.
And man's shushing everyone. No.
I dare you.
Just for that goal should have been disallowed.
That being said, though, like,
yeah, it should have been red carded.
Chilwell came on and won the game for them, innit? Like, Cucurella's been good, and obviously he's a top player. But like, Chilwell's basically
been good though. I think he's had a bit of a mix.
Yeah, he hasn't. The thing is, when going forward, it's clear Chilwell is the better player in it. Like, Cucurella likes to
Yeah. He's very good one-on-one as well.
Yeah, and I think Chilwell's just basically saying, don't forget about me, man. You pay 50M for me. Just because I've been injured, I'm still here, innit? So it's good from Chilwell, and obviously I'd like to see him in the England team really coming back because he'd been out of the fold for a couple of years. That being said, we have to talk about the decision. It actually boils my blood because I was watching it and then I saw West Ham win on the lead, got in the lead, and then Chelsea got two quick fire goals, and I just saw Havertz go and I saw him shushing and I got so genuinely angry. And then a minute later, Reece James with a stupid head. What on earth was Mendy doing? Just catch it, you idiot.
That is some grade A acting.
World
from
class
Mendy.
Keeper.
That just is grade A acting.
I know, great.
Listen, he should be nominated for the Oscars because that was fantastic. He sold everyone in the VAR room.
And I'm glad, listen, we'll get back onto that in a sec, but I am glad you pointed out the Reece James mistake that essentially led to that whole situation because a lot of the time with him and Kyle Walker, I know I sound biased like a broken record. These types of mistakes, same with Cancelo, they're not kind of pointed out often, but I'm glad you pointed that out, the Reece James mistake that led to that whole situation again, which should have led to West Ham's equaliser.
Oh yeah, just before Havertz scored, yeah, West Ham hit the post, like Corne's first touch.
Yeah, Corne
hit the post, and then Chelsea went up the other end and scored, and it was just like a deflating moment. Then they get back into the game, great finish by the way, under pressure, smashed it into the top bin. I don't know what the referee's
off
looking at.
It's
like giving a foul for someone rubbing your shoulder. That's it. Imagine like you went up to the referee and touched him. You're like, oh no, and referee threw himself to the ground. That's the equivalent of that.
Something needs to be done because, you know, West Ham, that can affect them.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
That could
they're
stop
in the bottom three, you know.
Top eight, do you know what I mean? It's like they need to sort it out.
Well, that has got to be the worst decision.
With the run that they're on, relegation.
Relegation.
No, obviously it won't come to that. But yeah, I don't know. You know, like, we see it every single time. When you slow it down or you're using still images, then obviously you're going to say, oh, it's a foul. There's contact there.
Mm. But what were they seeing to justify that, though? I don't understand.
When you see it in slow motion, I mean, I can't see it, but I'm trying to find some way that they thought about it. If they see it in slow motion and you're seeing a guy, his foot catches the guy's shoulder and you see Mendy rolling around like he's just been shot.
There's no way you can look at that and say that's clear and obvious. They're just going against their own rules.
I honestly don't know, man. I don't.
Declan Rice was fuming. He was like,
rightly so.
I actually thought David Moyes was a little less
dignified,
kind of. Yeah, I thought he was quite dignified. Considering, yeah, it's interesting though, because bear with me on this one. PGMOL, have come out and said effectively we accept that the wrong decision was made in both the West Ham game and the Newcastle game. But what does that mean and what does that do for West Ham and Newcastle?
It doesn't do anything. Doesn't do anything at all. Because like, so okay, so we're going to replay the game. Oh no, the result stands. So what? So moving forward, what's going to happen?
Is it just apologies after
that.
Every error now?
I hate that. You can't. It's previously, we brought in VAR because there was too many mistakes from referees. Okay, so what's happening now then?
Listen, that's why I say VAR for offsides and massive decisions. Outside of that,
just let the game run, man.
Just leave the game be.
Sorry.
Oh, go on.
No, just because we're on this topic, I was going to ask about they're trialing it with UEFA and the World Cup, the automated, semi-automated VAR. So what? I might be out of the loop. I don't really know. Does anyone know what that means, actually?
Semi-automated.
Yeah.
Semi-automated VAR.
Well, you can't. It's virtually impossible because it's based on an interpretation of a decision. So it's like, it's you making a decision. So it's like you stick to the referee. I think the issue is there, like I think the biggest thing in terms of improving it, obviously, to answer your question, I have no idea what that means. I think it's just them saying it, trying to think of a solution. The best way to improve it is like you guys said about having an independent review, because you can't just have referees who have the politics within each other. And also, they're all shown they're all equally inept. Get some outside referees, man. Get some foreign referees. Because like we saw a couple of years ago, Arsene Wenger said it. He said there will be no English referees at the World Cup. And he was bang on.
Mm-hmm.
So the limited referees we're going to have, we'll see at the World Cup as well. Because English, the British, the overall standard, I think, when it comes to the baseline of refereeing in this country is probably higher than other countries. But when it comes to the individuals, we've got the worst individuals in this country. Like that, the Chelsea one specifically. That Australian guy, he is a terrible ref. He was the ref a couple of weeks ago for Arsenal at the Emirates. He's honestly, he's completely
against Fulham.
Do you remember that clip of him where they were kind of discussing live and you could hear the audio? No. In game in Australia, and he was explaining.
BT Sport did it. Yeah.
And that's essentially, I feel, the reason they brought him over. He's just as trash as the rest.
The craziest thing, is in that clip, one of the players come. He's mic'd up in it for that clip, innit? So one of the players come up to me, and go, "Oh, I hear you're going to the Championship." It was only a couple of years ago. He's already up in the Premier League now, innit? So it just goes to show, he's clearly not ready for it.
I think a lot of the referees are clearly not ready for it. But I do have a correction to make. It's not semi-automated VAR. It's semi-automated offside. So, the goal line technology, referees are going to receive an alert that there was an offside. And then a 3D animation improves the communication to in-stadium fans. So you'll be able to see the images. But the technology has been successfully tested at previous FIFA tournaments and will be implemented in the Champions League this season and the World Cup in the winter.
But they have to establish what they consider offside.
Yeah, I know. This armpit rule, I don't think it's... I mean, now it's not armpit, it's the sleeve, right? So it's the sleeve you're offside. You can't score a goal. Exactly, so I don't know why... Because I've seen a lot of goals ruled out where it's like their arm's offside, but their foot is like way behind the defender, like... Anyway,
what do you think of Chelsea signing Aubameyang from an Arsenal perspective?
I really don't care.
That video of him is hilarious.
He looks a bit off in that video. Some
looks, bro. He's off. Like
he's completely.
He did get his jaw broken a couple days ago.
I know.
No, that's true. But the body language as well, especially when he was like, "And
he don't believe.
Come on, you Blues." You could tell every ounce of him and his whole body did not want to say that.
And he just clearly in that video, what he wanted to say. I came here, one, because I just got mugged. Two, I want the money.
Mark, do that again. What? Did the impersonation.
No, you have to play that one back. You have to play that one back.
And they signed that midfielder, didn't they?
Zachariah.
Yeah. I weren't expecting that one.
That's another Saul signing, man.
You reckon?
The worst thing is they're asking, they go, "How are you going to prevent this from being another Saul signing?" He goes, "Well, he's got to work hard, innit? Otherwise, wing back." He just signed him because he's fast, innit? So he could play as a wing back. He's strong and fast.
I think Aubameyang is going to actually do well Chelsea.
Time will tell, but it's clear they need someone who can regularly put the ball in the back of the net. Whether that's Aubameyang or not, we'll see. But they need a shooter.
We've seen him in the Prem. And Arsenal, for whatever, were creating a lot of chances. And he was missing them. So,
but still, to be honest,
hey, I'm happy with the one we got in, so I'm not
looking at Chelsea. They are a bit meh.
They are meh.
They lost to Southampton a couple of days ago.
That was beautiful.
Oh, that was great. That was absolutely magnificent.
They'd absolutely taken a piss. I honestly think Todd Bowley, he made the bid because he can't help it. Someone should have just ripped the phone out of his out of the wall for him. Just like,
how are you bidding for, man? He just signed for Southampton a couple of months ago, and you're more than doubling that.
And in his mind, he thought, "Oh well, 50 million is the base. We have to sign. We have to bid 50 million. I can't bid for anyone less than 50 million." And that's what. This summer as well, like, we thought Abramovich took the piss as well, but that's the record for one team in one window.
It's scary, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I think Chelsea, like, everyone's watching them now, isn't it? And when they should have lost to West Ham.
And we don't know, but there was a mysterious bidder for De Jong, 100 million euros.
Well, of course, isn't it? He can't help it.
Yeah, it's definitely Chelsea. So what, you're saying they should be in the title race then with the money they spent?
Hey, 300 million?
The biggest outlay in the history of English football.
I get that.
It's the same with Man United. We were saying the same thing last week about Man United. It's the same thing with Chelsea.
And they're
not contenders at all.
We can't see it, but they're always listing. Look at the defenders they've got now, innit? They've got three at the back: Fofana, Silva, Koulibaly, right wing back, Reece James, left wing back, Cucurella.
Oh, and Gavio rejected them,
Gvardiol. And then you look at the midfield, they're always going on and banging on and on about Jorginho, Kovacic, Kante, all of these guys as well. Can I just say, we haven't got much time left of the podcast, but I've actually got a list of my agendas.
Yeah, he was telling me about this on the way here. So, he's got a list of agendas.
Do you want me to read it out quickly?
Go on then. Do it, and then we just run through the last. I'm actually intrigued that we just skip through the last ones.
Because it was kind of a long list.
That's the actual rejector. So I've got my list, here, and I've got two different columns.
Hold on. So you've got
two columns.
A draft agenda and the actual agendas.
No. Yeah, exactly. I've got agenda for what we're going to talk about this podcast, and then I've got like my agendas for who I'm going to talk shit about. So I've got two lists. One is called shit guy that people rate.
Okay.
Okay.
And then I've got another list called I'm watching you. So let me go through them, yeah. And I know some of you guys might not like this list, but it's my list, innit?
Wait, hold on, before you hit the blue button.
Wait, hang on.
There you go. Why'd you hit both?
It was accident.
No, wait, can we all do one? So can I do one next week?
And then Okay. So this list is like, so shit guy that people rate. First of all, I know you're gonna not like it. Darwin Núñez. I've got
A lot of people don't rate him, so he could technically be on your I'm watching you list.
Yeah, maybe, but he's staying in this. He's staying in this list. Jose Sarr, James Ward-Prowse, and the one I brought up right now is Conor Gallagher.
Conor
Gallagher is a 1500 meter runner, bruv. No, I'm not. Obviously, you got my typical ones: Bruno Fernandes, Bentancur, Kulishitsky. I actually wrote Bruno Fernandes twice on this. But you got other guys as well. Like, I just added him yesterday, Sambi Lokonga. I've got Suchek.
Okay.
Is this still the same list, or same is this list, the I'm watching
guy, shit,
list?
No, shit cool. guy that people rate. And then Lucas Digne as well. I've added him, shit guy that people
rate. Yeah, I agree with that one.
On my I'm watching you list, I've got some of these are actually going to be a bit surprising. Mason Mount.
Yeah,
that's
agree.
Fair. That's fair.
Agree.
One that I nearly blew a gasket swearing at him on Wednesday last week. John McGinn. Bro, I'm watching you. That guy, okay. Meaty guy. This one's going to be a bit surprising, but Jimenez.
Really? No, I'm with that one.
I'm watching you, Jimenez, because too many. I'm not going to have to. I know you nearly broke your score a couple years ago. Well, you actually did, innit? But, bro. Yeah. You can have a brain injury, but still, like, you ain't dead, innit? So get some goals, bro.
Wow.
You ain't dead. A couple of others that you might think are contentious, but I've actually got a reason to, because in the first 5-6 games of the season, he's been shit.
Why are you looking at me for? I know you're going to say Son.
Son, I'm watching you.
I think that's crazy.
Okay. A couple of other guys who are, you know, people have already called them shit, but I still think they're decent. Jordan Henderson and Firmino.
Okay.
And a couple of others as well. One purely out of hatred, Romero. I'm watching it. And another one, his bad performances are going under the radar because Man United are winning, but Sancho, I'm watching you, bro.
Yeah, Sancho, that's a big one. I'm glad you had that one in there.
In the name of balance, mm-hmm. And I just noticed there weren't many Arsenal players on there. You add Saka to your I'm watching you list right now.
How dare you?
Add him to the list right now. If you're putting Son on that list mm-hmm. off of this yeah. season's performances mm-hmm. alone, mm-hmm. get Saka on that list.
But the difference is it's right my list, not yours list, yeah?
And you all right, cool. So I'll bring my list next week. Yeah, me
too. You actually want to fight me because that's fighting talk. And you can't say that literally off the back of him ripping the left back. He was our best player yesterday, so
I'm not. Yeah, but let's be honest, I think the goal scoring is a bit quiet.
He scored yesterday.
Yeah, but how many goals did he score?
I didn't want to cause arguments, but he's on the I'm watching you list.
He's been underwhelming this year, and he's already got one goal.
All right, so where's the same energy for
games,
where's the same energy for Son? Just because Son ain't scored.
Son's done nothing this season. 0 goals, 0 assists. Yeah.
Listen, but you know
Saka's been underwhelming. Scored three. We'll see in it. We'll try it, bro. We've got six games to go by.
Try it.
Get your goals up, bruv.
That's a good list. You know what? Actually, let's check back in on that list like every month or two. I'd just be interested to see like who's proven you wrong, who's proved you right.
I might add more names.
But some of them on that list,
I'm surprised Mbappe is not there.
Some of them on that list were never rated anyway.
Right now.
Like
right
who, now, rated, who rated Suchet? Let's be honest.
No, first season, everyone rated. Let's be honest, everyone rated.
He was on everyone's FPL, 100%.
And Gallagher, I think that's harsh. I really think that's harsh. Just because he's playing for Chelsea now in a different system.
I wasn't that big on him when he was at Palace.
No, that's a lie.
At the start when he was scoring goals. But if you watch his game, like...
You can say he needs to play for England.
I didn't say he's playing for England. I've got Smith Rowe in my team. Why am I talking about this 1500 metre runner, bruv? Listen, I watch Gallagher, yeah? And why is all of his credit about the amount he runs, bruv? That's McTominay vibes, bro.
Give him credit, at Palace, where he had a bit more freedom to be that... late run into the box, get creative with the ball. He was actually a player, but in this double pivot at Chelsea, he's not being done any favours by Tuchel, let's be honest.
Did we do a flop of the season in our little...
No, we didn't.
We should have done that.
We can just do that on mic. Yeah. Everyone come with
Tanya,
one.
Tanya, who's your flop of the season?
Who I predict to be the flop of the season.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, no, I don't think I can...
Come on, you've got to do it right now.
I mean, it's pretty simple for me, to be honest. 100 million Andy Carroll, bruv. Obviously, I'm going to go for that.
Oh, my God.
Crazy.
I'm a generational hater, Carroll. Bruv.
Ooh, you know what? I'm going to go for...
Silence. He's a player,
he's a flop, bro. Silence, we're watching you.
That's what I'm saying. No, let everyone think we'll come back with this. You brought it up and said, let's do it right now.
Said, Harry Kane, Harry Kane, what's three times three? Silence.
Shut up. Tanya tries so hard not to laugh.
Can I just say, I'm actually worried because Kane is balling out this year, but there's no slow start this year.
I literally said that. You're like, oh, no, he's not.
No, he is. I've been saying
for Kane. I fear that he's going
to Kane's the one player I cannot ever chat shit about.
I fear that he's going to break the Thierry's record.
He will.
Well, he's overtaken him now, isn't he?
Oh, right.
Yeah. Oh, he did against Fulham in the London derby.
Because I'm not finished what I was going to say.
You said, I fear.
No. I fear he's going to break Thierry's record, and then you guys started talking over me. In the North London derby
He will.
What is it now?
He's like one or two goals away.
He's played more games in the derby with Thierry now, isn't it? So,
but still.
But he's a shooter, man. He's been a clapper for how many years, and he's certified, isn't it? So the one guy you can't touch.
Let's run. We got. Let's try and do this in 5 minutes, yeah? Mm.
Damn. Okay.
Villa Man City 1-1. Another VAR decision here. Well, not VAR.
Oh, you know what? I forgot about
refereeing this. Refereeing decision.
Completely forgot.
The linesman put his flag up when Coutinho was not offside. But because the referee blew his whistle. Yeah.
Stupid. The crazy thing is that, and we've seen it in almost every game this season, I thought linesman was told, keep your flag down, even if you think it's off, because VAR will bring it back. You know, if something happens, i.e. a goal, VAR will then bring it back.
Yeah,
I think they saw it as a different phase of play because it got headed out.
No, but so the thing is,
I didn't really have a big problem with this
out
one.
When?
So when Coutinho went for the ball, it got headed out by a Man City player, and then that's when they assumed he was offside. Then
no, they assumed he was offside from the pass.
Yeah.
The first one. Yeah.
And the pass was the pass was backwards anyway, so you can't be offside from a pass that's played backwards.
That's the one decision I probably didn't have a problem with.
No, I think.
Because the whistle went. So the goal just, regardless of what happened, the goal can't count.
But it's the linesman's fault. He shouldn't have put his flag up.
They say play to the whistle. Man City players stopped because the whistle went. So I don't think that counts really as a goal.
No.
I just think
you can't come out and say that's one of the ones you don't have an issue with when it's a clear mistake again.
The issue, it's not a VAR thing though. I think that's a referee thing.
That's why
the conversations we've had about VAR are the majority of them are actually about the human beings using VAR.
Yeah.
And again, this is the linesman, human error.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, it's poor refereeing.
It's poor. Even the ref shouldn't have blown. Should have just let that passage of play just continue. And then once the ball's out of play, or if City get a tackle in, or Villa's attack breaks down, then blow up.
Yeah.
But
all right,
it is what it is. It just very quickly, it was a massive result for Steven Gerrard in terms of the pressure.
I was just going to say Haaland 10-6 as well.
Matt, that's ridiculous.
Disgusting.
Man. He's not real.
So I asked you the question. I know. I asked you the question last week. Everyone was kind of like, I don't think so. So I'll ask you again. 10-6. Does he break Salah's? Bearing in mind, right, his injury record's not great, but he does get a month off this World Cup, November to December.
Yeah, he does.
Someone made a point saying he's getting, like, how many broken hands is Scott Carson going to have in training? He's just doing shooting practice, the two of them.
Do you think he breaks that? So the record's obviously 32 in 38.
If we're going to maths, the minimum he's going to get 60 goals.
At the minute, you have to say, potentially, yeah.
He needs 22 more goals in 32 games. Providing he stays fit, innit?
Yeah, I don't think he'll play all 32. There'll be a moment when, you know, you've got a big Champions League game and Pep will prioritise that. But
and the run into the season is always quite difficult as well. I don't know.
It's achievable.
Bro, at half time against Aston Villa, I was in my seat and I pulled out my phone. 3-0 Man City, and then I didn't even have to look at who scored, innit?
3-0 Man City?
I was at the Villa game, innit? And I looked at my phone, they're playing
Nottingham
Forest.
Arsenal versus Villa game. Yeah, sorry, my bad. You need to make that.
My bad. And I just saw that.
Forest.
They have no Forest, innit? So 6-0. I'm just like, well, half time, 3-0, and he scored 3. Yeah. It's just like, the guy is an android. I said it before. He doesn't seem real.
But do you not think, any striker would be, though, in that system, though? I think Kane would back just as much.
Yeah, I know. But, I mean, he's got this freakish level of, like, he's got the ability to score in every game. That's what I just, he looks like that kind of guy. Kane, but Kane is more like, I can see him scoring less goals than Haaland because Kane's involved in the game more. True. But that guy's job is just being between the width of the post and get the goals in it.
He's averaging like 10 touches a game.
Yeah.
And like two or three goals. Well, he's averaging 2 goals a game and 10 touches, which Kane, is you crazy.
See, De Bruyne's cross, yeah. He jumped above the crossbar and it looked like he was hanging in the air just so he can volley it. He was like, the ball better hurry up because I've been here for a while. And he just volleyed it in for us,
so
flying.
So we have completely failed in our 5 minutes because 5 minutes has gone and we've just talked about this.
Extra five, added time.
Added time. Okay. Five added on. Okay, let's go quick, yeah? Brentford versus Leeds, Tony hat-trick.
World Cup. Oh, it has to happen.
Well, yeah, has to happen. But then again, it's going to be tough because...
I actually think Man United Tony and Chelsea Abraham. Should have been looking at Tony.
Chelsea, 100%.
Yeah, Man United, definitely.
But if you're thinking, like, I get what you're saying, but, like, if England usually only take 3 strikers, yeah? As in out-and-out strikers.
Yeah, they only play... I know, they only play one. It's, but for me, if you take Kane out of that team, who's at the moment now...
Well, there's you, Tammy and Rashford. So who else?
Listen, I don't know if you guys have watched much of Roma. He's good at putting the ball in the back of the net. For me, personally, the rest of Tammy's game stinks. That's my personal opinion.
I personally disagree. I think Tony's got much better link-up play and he's actually a very good footballer, very underrated footballer as well. People just think Tony is a finisher, but he's a very, very technical footballer.
Listen, the standard of his goals, each goal, one was a pen, but the free kick and the third goal in particular.
One of the reasons I was interested in Tammy last year, because I like his link-up play. I think Tammy's a very good at link-up play.
I don't think it's as good as you think it might be.
I think Tammy needs
also,
more respect.
Also, has he ever taken Rashford as a striker? He's always played on the left.
But with England, we're stacked in the wing positions.
So
we're going to play
stacked
Rashford.
Everywhere.
All right. So we
other than centre.
So what I've gathered is that we suck at trying to whiz through things. Great result for Brentford. Bournemouth were 2-0 down at half time and came back to win 3-2.
Well, that's what happens when you play an American football team, bro. Team Bussier was going on for ages, isn't it? They had like 6 different coaches coming. It's still the Forest team, innit? That's what happens when you sign.
They have like 60 players. Oh, all right.
Nah.
Brighton battered Leicester 5-2.
What a team, man. I just love watching them play. And the thing is, they sold their best players, yeah. Not a problem. That's fine. We're good. We're a well-coached team. McAllister Rose. And Trossard, bro. Mm-hmm. That's it.
And the talent identification off the back of, you know, obviously they sold to... They're two best players. The talent identification, just to kind of keep that moving. And I actually think Gilmore's a really smart signing from them as well.
Yeah.
I like Brighton. I like the left back they got. His name is Purvis Estupinian, which is the top one name I've ever heard of.
Top one name.
What's your name? Purvis Estupinian. Oh, that is a... You know,
I'm going to just chill, yeah? Just chill.
You know he's about... He's on stuff, isn't he? He's on crowd when you hear that. My name is Purvis Estupinian.
Bro, you said it like 4 times.
I know. You practiced that one in the mirror.
I like saying it.
Right, Purvis.
In the mirror.
Purvis. But the way that Brighton are playing is actually...
that was perfect.
Thanks. But like, the way Brighton are playing is actually interesting, because they're not playing with any fullbacks. They're playing wing backs, but like they're playing guys like Solly March as a right
wing. Graham Potter is the truth, man.
And Trossard, the left wing.
He is.
Big trouble for Leicester, though. 1.6.
Yep.
They got to pick it up.
They are stinking.
Oh,
good.
It was fine, but genuinely, not even hyperbole. Like, it could have been 10.
Oh, hyperbole. I like that.
That was just like horrible. Like, they are so weak. And the thing is, if you got midfield, you have... Obviously, I think Samara's quite right. I'm going to add him onto my list, actually. But, yeah, right. But genuinely, against Man United, if you have a midfielder of Ndidi, Tielemans, Maddison, people are saying, oh, that's one of the better ones now. They don't look quality in any area as well. Like,
Ndidi,
it just looks...
Ndidi stunk it up, man.
But Ndidi's still playing centre-back.
Yeah, he is, yeah.
But it's weird. They have got some good players, though. What do you put...
I think it's just done for Rodgers.
They signed one player.
He's not getting sacked, though.
I don't run the club.
There was an article in The Athletic this morning. Apparently, the whole squad's dismayed. Tactics are changing game to game. They don't know what's being asked of them anymore individually and collectively.
That's not a good sign. He's on his way.
And there are a lot of questions from the playing side of things, but apparently he also has faith of the board and the
Rodgers,
owner.
Rodgers,
so
your time is ticking.
It's ticking. Let's just say that.
I need to get
ticking.
That change.
When you lose the faith of your own playing squad, it's really ticking.
Get
Rodgers, look at... Go on.
We need that Stranger Things clock. I'm going to get the soundbite. So when we talk about someone's times coming up, play that.
Rodgers is actually looking at the opposing dugout in that game thinking, oh, that used to be me, you know. They used to look at him. They used to look at me the way they look at him now, innit? So.
No, do you know what? We should move on, innit? There's more games. Is there more games?
There are two more games.
Two more games.
All right. Wolves finally won a game. They beat Southampton 1-0. Pedence scored.
Oh, Bazunu. What was that all about? Mm. Did you see the goal? I don't know. Like, Pedence, that was got to be a horrible finish. Like, he obviously mishit it, innit? And then it bounced, and then he just dived out of the way. It was a bit like what Ramsdale did with Anthony's goal, innit? He just moved out of the way.
Oh, yeah, I was going to mention that. I'm not even going to mention it now. Yeah, Southampton are a confusing team, though, isn't it?
You go from beating Chelsea.
Not that losing to Wolves is a bad thing, but Wolves this season haven't been great. Southampton are just confusing.
Wolves hadn't won before this game.
I was going to say, Wolves have played slightly better than the results suggest.
Yeah, I could get on board with that.
True.
It's funny because last week I brought up how many black players Southampton were. And then deadline day, he went and bought two more. He's like, mate, Lallana, come through. Oh, some black youth from Man City. Obviously, Guardiola doesn't want you. Come through, bro.
Oh, yeah, mate, Lallana. Oh, God. What?
And finally, but for the fans listening, not least, Newcastle Crystal Palace ended 0-0. Though VAR intervened with a perfectly legal, looked like perfectly legal
Did you
Newcastle
hear,
goal.
What's his name? Oh, Jamie O'Hara, he was on Sky Sports, and usually he chats rubbish in it. But
whenever Jamie O'Hara appears,
he actually made a really good point. He was like, that is such a bad decision that someone needs to be sacked for that. Because
if
you're not going to give the goal, that should actually be a penalty.
Mm. Yeah.
Because he pushed him. And the guy nearly got concussed, man. Like, it's crazy. Mm. It's actually crazy. And how can you look at that decision and say the Newcastle player made the offence then?
Doesn't make sense. Mitchell literally pushes him into the goalkeeper.
Nah, he's like, yeah.
They need to be drugs tested, these people, I think. Well, they must be high something. I reckon they do.
That one yesterday who shaved his head, he must have done it for a bet and just can't grow his hair back now, innit? He actually looks like a skinhead now. That's crazy.
Tierney.
But yeah, he definitely needs to be drug tested.
All Tierney.
That's what I'm saying.
He should be on your list.
Nah, all the referees are on shit guys. That's it. I'm not.
Nobody rates.
No. Saka should be on that list.
Tanya, watch your mouth.
No, you're not joking. It's cool. You don't have to say you're joking.
I like Saka.
I like Saka as well.
Yeah, he should be on the list.
I love Saka as a player, but if we're judging off at this season, but anyway, it's another.
You got to watch your mouth. Someone's going to go home, man.
Bro, I have to listen to you every week. Mm-hmm. Just 2 minutes ago, Saka! I heard the 100 million Andy Carroll. Mm-hmm.
I'm not chatting shit about Salah, though. He's your best player. So you don't talk about my best player.
All right, big man. Sorry. Didn't know you were going to say that to Hartley.
Hey, 3 games without a goal. Don't let me load an agenda on him, bro.
No, your best
I'm
going to
feel stupid next game when he's got
back. Saka went, just went five without a goal.
Jesus. Yeah, Jesus is our best player, I'd say. Yeah, but exactly, like, Saka's been like... Saka's like... You know, he's been in the Hall of Fame already, so... Alan Shearer, Thierry Henry.
And now, man of the week, Tanya.
Oh, yeah.
You're up first.
I'm up first.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I'm going to give it to... Should I be shameless and give it to Richarlison even though he didn't score? No, I'm going to give it to Harry Kane.
No, you should give it to Richarlison.
I'm giving it to Harry Kane. He's in good form at the minute. Great player and got us the winning goal. So I'm giving it to Kane, my boy.
Abdi.
Oh, I'm next.
Golden boot.
Well, that's how
very, it's very easy for me. I didn't think it'd come to me, but Ivan Toney for a hat trick. Quality hat trick as well. The third goal was 30, bro. And a free kick as well.
Oh, man.
I thought you would have been prepared, Junior.
I am. Well, I wanted Toney, but.
You should know by now in this game, you need to have a backup option.
No, I do have a backup option. Oh. Which is why I'm upset.
I know who he's going
to
do.
I have to big up Rashford.
Oh, fair enough.
No, yeah. That's actually fair.
That's why I'm
bro, I'm about to do the same thing, so don't worry.
Okay.
In the name of balance, I hate this guy. I give him a lot of hate, a lot of stick, but I'm gonna have to nominate that was poor for your standards. I'm gonna have to nominate Jordan Pickford.
Yeah.
Gotta do it, man.
Yeah. Mm. Let's just end this, man. We'll catch you on the next exciting episode of We'll Talk About That.
Woo! Sports Social Podcast Network.